Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This episode was recorded today on a very nice sunny day. And I was upstairs on the terrace of my apartment. As you may know, I have a small area upstairs where on a nice sunny day I can sit outside, and sometimes I go up there and I record episodes of the podcast. On this particular day, I was joined by two of my friends, Amber Minogue and Paul Taylor. They've both been on the podcast before, so you probably know their voices. And in this episode, it was just a chance for me to catch up with them and just see what they've been doing. So we talk a little bit about their news, and also we end up talking about all sorts of other things, including television programs, some of our favorite TV shows and TV series. This is one of those episodes that gives you a chance to listen to some real, authentic English conversation between a few native speakers. I hope that you enjoy it. Of course, you can leave your comments at teacherluke.co.uk. But I think now it's time for us to get started with this interview. It's not really an interview. It's more a conversation, a three-way conversation between me and a couple of my English mates. So let's get started. Here we go. The recording setup here is that we've got two microphones. We've got a guest on each microphone, and then me in the middle using another microphone. It's not that complicated, really.
Yeah, check out the photo on the website.
Yeah,
there'll be a photo of us.
There might be a photo of us if I can get it together. I don't like to make too many promises, Paul.
Well, I've just made it for you. I'll take the photo. It's fine.
Okay. So I should probably explain that today on the podcast I'm joined by my mates Paul Taylor and Amber Minogue, both of whom have been on the podcast before. And the idea at this point is just to kind of catch up with them. I have got some questions and things lined up, but really it's quite an open podcast episode, this one. We'll just see what direction we go in. Paul's checking his watch.
Well, I can hear the bells, and it's 12 o'clock. So if you hear bells in the background, it's because it's 12 midday, and it's obviously the longest amount of bells.
That's right. 12 bells.
Exactly, 12 bells.
Are those the bells that drove Quasimodo mad in Paris?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. I'm glad we sorted that out. just give my listeners a quick reminder of when you were both on the podcast before. We'll start with you, Amber.
I was on the podcast before when I was pregnant, so it was at least more than a year and 4 months ago.
I believe it was January of last year, January 2014. Okay. You were very pregnant at the time.
I was very round, because the baby came the 2nd of February.
Okay, so just a few weeks after the podcast recording.
Yeah.
I don't think the recording had anything to do with that. I think that was the things. That's not what the baby was waiting for. Okay, now that we've been on Luke's English Podcast, let's go!
No.
Okay, so you were on that episode about... I think it was called She's Having a Baby. I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
So you actually, you know...
Had the baby.
You had the baby.
Yeah, I had the baby.
You had the baby.
Yeah.
You actually had the baby, so.
Well, what? It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Good times.
All right.
It was. It wasn't so bad. I thought it was going to be, you know, pain. It was actually very painful. It was a lot more painful than I had anticipated.
Didn't you say in the episode that you were going to go for a natural birth?
Yeah, I did.
You actually had a natural birth?
No, God, no, I didn't. It was too painful. I don't know. I've been reading books and they'd led me astray. I packed my bag. You know, you have to have a bag of maternity stuff.
Yeah.
And I had all sorts of things like lamps and like lavender oil. That's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Lavender oil.
I just thought, I'd confused giving birth with like a spa treatment.
Yeah. You need something stronger than lavender oil, I'd imagine.
You need something way, way stronger. And it wasn't just that it was really, really, really painful, but my boyfriend was just looking terrified in the corner, and I was sort of screaming and being sick and, like, you know, lying on the floor. It was agony. Yeah, and so then I said, give me the massive dose of drugs. Yeah. And they did. And then it was plain sailing. It was great. We put on some music. It was fine.
Well, which drug did they give you?
I don't know. But
it's good. It was good.
Because you could, I could still walk and feel my feet and, like, all that stuff, but you felt no pain. It was just like getting a sort of big squeeze, but without the agony.
Wow. Yeah. I wish I could get pregnant just so I could try that.
That should be the tagline of that drug. Big squeeze, but without the pain.
I don't know who does it. I mean, it was 12 hours, the labour, so it was too...
Wow, that is a long labour, isn't it?
It's average. It? Really? That's about right. So, yeah. Wow. No. Do the drugs.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Yeah.
So, what's it like being a mum then, Amber?
It is tiring, but brilliant. No, it's great. It's like living with a very optimistic person. A very, very, very optimistic person.
What's so optimistic that they pull all the optimism out of you? They just keep it all themselves.
They, like, reaffirm your sort of... Like, he wakes up in the morning and he's so happy. It's just like, yay, the day has started. And, like, no obstacle is too great for this baby. Like, yeah. He walks around and he sees, like, a big jar or a bag and he's like, oh, I could probably pick that up and has a go. But he can't. And then, I know, he feels things very intensely. His emotions are very... heightened.
A lot of hormones in the little kid, I suppose.
Maybe.
At that age.
Yeah.
Lots of changes.
But it's nice, you know, you see him sort of just like having the most fun with just nothing. A sock.
A jar.
Yeah, a jar. It's good.
Oh, innocent times.
Yeah.
Just give him a jar and he's happy.
Yeah, exactly. Take that jar away, though. Ooh,
really?
He's not happy.
Okay.
Oh, it's the end of the world.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so... I was going to ask you about best things and worst things, but that's probably enough. Sleep, nappies. Have you had any sleep at all since the baby was born over a year ago?
I've had some sleep, but he does wake up every 3 hours or so.
Really?
Yeah. But that's okay. You get used to it.
It's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
So you've brought a new life into the world.
Yeah.
Well done.
I know.
I hope that you're going to, you know, teach it the ways of righteousness.
Yeah, he might teach me the ways of righteousness.
Yeah.
I feel pretty righteous when I have a baby.
Yeah.
I walk around being righteous. Like, I see someone drop a little bit of litter, pick that up. Pick that up.
I don't want my child to grow up in a dirty
in a bin.
World.
I see someone do something I don't like the look of. What do you think you're doing? I feel really right. I feel really like I can tell anyone off.
So you get sort of empowered by having a child.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. Sounds. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think that's... It's great. You've done better things than I have in the last year and a half. You've made a new person.
Is that good though? Does the world need more people?
Yeah, the world probably doesn't need any more people. But just in case we do kill the planet and get invaded, then I guess the more people, the better, right?
Suppose so. But I mean, the world may not need more people per se, but doesn't the world need good people? Don't we need to introduce more good people into the world? Basically, Amber, what I'm saying is that you need to try and make sure that he doesn't drift over to the dark side.
Mm.
Okay? You've got to make sure that he's a good Jedi.
Okay. Well, he might save the world. He probably is going to be a top scientist, ecological warrior. He's going to do something like that.
That's what all parents think, Amber. That's what all parents think. He's going to be a top scientist. He's going to be an award-winning lawyer. Do lawyers win awards? I don't know, but
on TV they do.
On TV they do. He's going to win the Nobel Prize, and then, you know, he fails his A levels. Maybe that's just my parents. I don't know. Anyway, Paul Taylor.
Yes.
So, tell us about the episode that you featured in.
Just before, maybe like a month before you, Amber. I think it would have been December 2013. It was a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
That we did together. And, that was a good episode. It actually spawned... I had an idea during that podcast.
Really?
During the before... We were talking about making tea.
Yeah.
And I had this thing, that would be fun if I made, like, tips... on how to do stuff in life. and make them a bit funny. Actually, they weren't even supposed to be funny to start with. It was just literally like tips. And because my name's Taylor, I thought, oh, Taylor's tips, Taylor's top tips.
Right.
And so that spawned a few videos that I made last year.
Yeah, and you've got tips. You've got a series of videos on YouTube and on other social networks called Taylor's Top Tips.
Yeah, there's like this YouTube thing going on in France where people are doing like 5-minute videos and getting millions of views. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know. I was going to do that, and then I realized that it could be shorter. And I thought I would take Instagram as like the main medium.
Right.
So I started doing 15-second videos. On my Instagram.
What can you achieve in 15 seconds? Because for me, I can't get anything done even in an hour. You know? my episodes end up sprawling over an hour, and you know,
well,
more
than
an hour.
Well, you had your... what was the thing that you had, like the short things last year? Or...
A phrasal verb a day.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, they were short. You managed to get stuff done in
Yeah, still going,
the phrasal verbs a day. Although it's not really happening each day now, is it?
No. It's more a phrasal verb a month at this point.
A phrasal verb when I can. But yeah, 15 seconds, it's surprising, because Vine is another thing that's like the Twitter equivalent of videos, which is 6 seconds. Mm. And I thought, there's no way you can do anything in 6 seconds. But I've watched a couple of people... You know, the popular people on Vine who have got like millions of views, and they actually get a lot done in 6 seconds, so it's surprising. Mm. So, yeah, I did that for a while.
So, you did Instagram, you did Vine?
No, I just stuck with the Instagram, and then people were asking me, like, oh, I want to show my friends, like, this episode. Where can I, like, it was difficult. You can't really search on Instagram, it's really difficult. So, I ended up putting them all up on YouTube so that people could find them.
How do we find them then, Paul?
What's the best way to find them? I guess going to my YouTube page, which is Paul Taylor Comedy.
Paul Taylor Comedy on YouTube, Taylor's Top Tips.
And there's 40, I think there's 40 of them, maybe?
40 of them, for example, how to make a cup of tea, how to become a king.
Yeah.
Is in there.
Cup of tea was number one. After our conversation.
Right. Oh, I feel glad that I inspired the birth of not only Amber's child, but but your project.
You're more influential than you think.
Clearly.
The force is strong with you, Luke. And back to Star Wars.
And back to Star Wars again. So what have you been up to then, you two? What's going on? That's a very broad question. Let's see what happens. What have you been up to? I've got some other questions here. I thought that I would ask for your opinions on a number of trivial topics. Well, most of them are trivial. Some of them aren't. We'll see. But, all right. Well, actually, what's the situation that we're in at the moment? Because you mentioned earlier on that the listeners may be able to hear noises. The noise of bells, church bells, the noise of hammering. What's the scenario that we're in here? Can someone... Amber, can you tell us about that?
Well, we're sitting on your very pleasant terrace in Paris. Mm-hmm. Lovely view up high on a sunny day. Very sunny day.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
School holidays.
Yeah. Okay, so we've all got a little bit of time off. And we gathered here together on my terrace in order to record an episode. So we're outside, up on the roof, and that's why you may be able to hear different noises around us. Probably the sounds of angry French people arguing in the street, the sounds of waiters being rude to customers, the sounds of people stepping in dog poo, the normal sounds that you would hear. I don't know, what is the sound of a person stepping in dog poo? Oh, merde! Ah, oh, putain!
Exactly.
I don't know, do Parisians step in dog poo?
No, I think they have managed
to...
I think that they... Because the thing is, they're always looking scowlingly at the ground. Mm. It's tourists that step in the poo because they're admiring the view.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah.
Parisians, so if someone steps in poo, it's more of a like, oh no!
Oh, my God!
My God,
oh, my God, that is disgusting!
it's a pretty accurate representation.
Probably an American, or it could be a Japanese tourist.
They wouldn't say anything. No, Japanese, they're very, very... They're very clever. Aware.
Yeah.
They have aware. That accent, though. Definitely.
The American accent?
No, the Japanese.
Japanese speak with an American accent, you say?
No. When they step in poo, they do. Something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they change. No, I think here's the thing that I found funny. I don't know if you've been to the Marais recently.
So what's that?
The Marais in Paris is kind of in the centre. It's the gay area. But it's more... It's very arty, and I've noticed that they've started changing the pedestrian crosswalks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen these. Like, they've got... they're trialling different crosswalks. You can find it online.
Yeah.
And they've got like Morse code ones. They've got weird lines, like the lines going the other way instead of normally. They're trialing these new things. They've got some in my neighbourhood as well.
What are the crosswalks or what are we crossing?
Pedestrian crossings.
Zebra crossings.
Pelican zebra.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares what they do? No one pays any attention to them.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. I'm like, we're talking about dog poo here. I'm like, yeah. they're investing money in repainting the floor to just try out a different pedestrian crossing. They've decided that the rest of the world has got it wrong, and they've decided that they want to try some new stuff. And in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't you just spend that money and actually clean up the shit on the floor?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to repaint the streets. We all know what pedestrian crossings look like, and they all work.
Yeah.
So why not just stick with the traditional ones and clean up the shit instead of spending the money on trialing new stupid-looking crosswalks?
Right.
Yeah, and they don't work. You know, you can die if you try and cross the road in Paris.
Just so basically never try and cross the road. Just stay on one side of the road all the time.
Sorry, I'm trying to get a new chair and
what's happening here?
I can't work out how it opens.
Listeners, what's going on is the general chaos here. So I'm not helping. I'm
it's
describing
like a baby
it.
Buggy. You gotta.
I'm too English. There's so much sunshine. I have to move into the shade.
Let me explain, okay? Because the listeners can't see this because they're in other countries. So what's going on is that because the sun is shining in Amber's face, which is nice for a little while, isn't it, Amber?
It's
but then it quickly gets sort of painful.
Well,
I'm still not helping Amber. I'm just watching her struggle. I've directed her towards a folding chair, which she's attempting to unfold. Paul is now videoing this. Okay, I'm gonna stop and help you. Okay, all right, Paul. Give a commentary on what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I've now got two microphones in my hand.
I've got it. Don't worry.
So Luke has the chair.
I've now got the chair in my grip. There's a small spider on the ground, but let's not worry about that too much. No, that's not how you do it. I have done this before, and I do own this chair. It's mine, but I'm actually not capable of doing this. Any solutions, Paul?
Should we try another one? Why don't you just take the chair that you were actually sitting on and then pull it round? Because that would be easier.
That would be
too simple. I don't want time to.
Watch out for the spider.
This is how many English people does it take to open an IKEA chair?
More than three.
Are you sure it's a chair?
Yeah,
I'm not sure that it's an actual chair.
Okay, I've got it.
Oh. Yeah, it looks like it's quite difficult. But Luke has managed to almost get it done.
Yes.
He has got it done.
Woo.
Congratulations, and now we can resume.
Okay.
A more interesting podcast for everyone
so
involved.
I managed to... That was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. Seriously. Because not only did I have to unfold a very stiff chair that had been sitting in the rain all winter, but also there was a spider on the ground.
I didn't see the spider.
You do want to kill the spider.
It's a very small spider. I don't want to kill the spider, and I don't want to be killed by the spider too, because we all know how dangerous tiny spiders are, especially in Paris.
I think this is probably the most English thing that we're doing right now. There's three English people on a sunny day in Paris sitting in the shade.
Yeah, avoiding the sunlight.
On a rooftop overlooking the Eiffel Tower. We're not sitting in the sun because we'd get burnt in about...
Who's got the most sensitive skin out of us?
Shotgun.
All of us.
I don't know, maybe.
Paul.
No, I'm half Irish, so...
Right.
It's not because you're half Irish.
I'm pink naturally, I don't know.
Are you ginger, Paul? Are you actually ginger?
My beard's ginger. My beard's ginger, yeah, but my hair's not.
Okay.
But people call me ginger.
I've got a slightly ginger beard as well.
You have, yeah.
Which I think makes me... I'm an undercover ginger.
You're a ninja ginger.
Ginger ninja. People don't realise that I'm ginger, and then I grow a beard, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? You're a ginger. I'm a ginger ninja.
Ginger ninja. My boyfriend's a ginger ninja.
Really?
But then he's like, I'm not ginger, and then we'll take photos, we'll be on holiday, take photos, and be like, wow, I look pretty ginger in
that. He's got a ginger beard as well, hasn't he?
Because you're pretty ginger, but he doesn't want to admit it.
Is there anything wrong with being ginger?
I love it.
Well, I don't know.
There's a slight...
There was that film, wasn't there, about ginger people being persecuted or...
Really?
Yeah. There's some countries that love ginger people. Italians are obsessed with ginger people.
They go down well in Westeros, actually.
In where?
Westeros.
Where is it? Greece?
No, that's actually where Game of Thrones takes place.
Oh, right. Oh.
Yeah, north of the wall.
North of the wall.
I haven't seen it, so...
What?
I've seen episode one and two, maybe, and then I haven't... It didn't spark...
It didn't work for you, Game of Thrones.
No, not many TV shows do.
Wait a minute. Before we go on to Game of... This is interesting. I want to deal with the subject properly. Before we deal with Game of Thrones, let me go back a little bit. You mentioned that Italian people are obsessed with gingers. Hold on a second. We've got lots of Italians listening to this. Well, and I want them to confirm the level with which they personally are obsessed with ginger people. So if you're Italian...
Obsessed might not be the right word. They like ginger people, and they think... You know, like in England, when you grow up, the ginger people, we always make fun of them, but for some reason in Italy, they're highly regarded. And I've had...
Really?
That two or three Italian people that I know have said that, so I would love the Italian people to confirm that.
Italian people like everyone. They're friendly. They're friendly people. Italians.
But apparently, especially if you're ginger. So they're highly regarded. So if you walk into town, in an Italian town as a ginger, let's say somewhere in the south of Italy, and you just stroll into town, what happens? Is it like in Return of the Jedi, where C-3PO arrives in the Ewok village, and within about 3 hours they've decided he's a god, and they're like, you know, lifting him up on a chair and worshipping him, and he's telling them stories and they're all listening? Is that what it's like?
I imagine so, yeah.
I'm going to go to Italy.
You're not proper ginger, though. It's like, I'm talking
ginger.
About like red hair, like proper, you know, like who's famous? Damian Lewis?
Brody from Homeland?
Yeah.
Well, he's ginger.
Those kind of, our kind of gingers, because we're between brown and ginger.
You've
got to
be pure ginger. You've
got to be like red.
Like Mick Hucknall,
like
Ron Weasley.
Orange, Ron Weasley, yeah, there we go.
Because there's ginger, as in like couldn't be any other colour. You know, ginger face. You know, ginger through and through. And then there's ginger, could also be another colour.
Yeah.
You, Paul, you're ginger, but you could be another colour. Whereas Ron, that's ginger through and through.
There's no hiding. For Ron Weasley, there's no escaping his gingosity.
What's his actual name?
His face is ginger.
The actor's called Rupert Grint.
That's the one.
I saw him in a film recently, which was The Convenient Death of Something Other with Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. What's going on with him?
And he was an actor. Like a sort of sweaty English person on holiday. It was very...
Was that a story of an English ginger man struggling in the sunshine? Because that's the basis for a great drama, isn't it?
Well, I'm a little cold, so I'm going to sit in the sun. I think we should rotate the sun. Like, we should just sit here for 10 minutes before our skin can't take it anymore, and then I'll rotate back.
Paul has now decided to sit in the sun, as he just described, but let's see what happens to his semi-ginger skin in the midday sun.
To be fair, he's already looking a little pink from his previous sun.
Yeah. I would watch out, Paul. You know, don't be too complacent about the effect of the sun on your ginger face. You may have just tried to convince us that you're not fully ginger. I'm not convinced by that. I think that within seconds, you're going to shed a layer of skin at least. I'll be hoovering up bits of your dead epidermis from the floor.
Mixed in with the croissant crumbs. You won't be able to tell the difference between them.
Right, so, okay, we dealt with the ginger thing, and Italian people, or indeed, you know, citizens from any sovereign nation on Earth, I'd like you to, you know, leave your comments. What do you think of the ginger species? It's not a species. What do you think of ginger people? And are you ginger? How has it been for you in your country? And what do you think of ginger people in general where you're from? We'd like to know your comments. Now, we then started talking about Game of Thrones. Paul, have you seen Game of Thrones?
I've seen episodes 1 and 2.
And?
I just didn't... I don't know. I wasn't... I've never really been in... the only reason I started watching it was because everyone that said, you got to watch it. I said, yeah, but I'm not really into, like, the fantasy kind of... Like, Lord of the Rings, I never got into, like, that kind of fantasy stuff. I never really enjoyed, but they're like, it's so much more than that. Like, you've got to get into it. And so I watched it, and I don't know. It just didn't click
with you.
Same with Breaking Bad. I'm a very unpopular TV person here. Like, I'm the one who doesn't watch any TV shows. And I've tried Breaking Bad, tried only one episode, but people have said you've got to watch a couple of episodes before. But Yeah. I also... Okay.
I feel like I don't know you, Paul.
I know. It's bad, isn't it?
I didn't like Breaking Bad either.
Just episode one. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not a huge TV person.
I reckon I'm going to create a new phrase that everyone's going to learn and use now for the rest of time. You know you've got, don't judge a book by... I'll try again. You know you've got, don't judge a book by its cover? You know that well-known phrase that everyone knows, which is obviously true. Well, it's not really true,
not,
is it?
It's not, because you definitely judge a book by its cover. There's quite a lot of information on there.
Especially the
title.
Name of the flipping book.
Yeah. I always judge a book by its cover. That's how I choose a book.
Yeah, what are you expected to do? Read the entire book there in the shop? Oh, I think I'll buy this. That was gripping.
Exactly. Well, especially the back has got a lot of information.
So anyway, don't judge a book by its cover, which may or may not be true. But my new expression is this. Don't judge a TV series by the first episode alone. I'm sure that it's going to catch on. Don't judge a TV series by the first episode or the first two episodes. Do you think that's a fair statement?
I know, actually, because there's so many TV series out there, and I feel that I really enjoy them. I've become very astute. I judge it within the first 10 minutes. If it's not got me, it's not going to have me.
Really?
There's so many TV series out there, and I'm a dedicated watcher. So, we download a lot, and then I watch the first 10 minutes, and I know, shit, move on.
Okay, but Game of Thrones got you in the first 10 minutes, did it?
He's out.
Paul has now decided to move back into the shade.
I'm too English for this, can't deal with it.
And we're only in Paris. It's not like we're on the equator or something.
No. I agree. In the first 10 minutes... No, I normally give it an episode, but it's just... I don't know, I'm just not a huge TV show. I've got a short attention span, I think, so I like films, but I don't like TV shows.
Whoa.
That's totally No, that doesn't make any sense. A TV series is shorter.
Yeah, but it's over, like... It's just ridiculous. It's like you've got to wait 5 years to get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
Whereas a film, you start it and it's finished in an hour and a half.
That's true.
Whereas a TV show is like, well, especially Game of Thrones, because it's an hour long or 40 minutes long with the ad breaks and stuff. But if you were to watch it normally with the ad breaks, it's an hour long.
Yeah.
The story doesn't finish. I don't mind TV shows where... the story finishes within the time. So, because Addy is who's my girlfriend, she's a lawyer, we started watching Suits.
Ugh. Right, which is all about lawyers.
Yeah.
You can read really quickly. Like, they're always being presented pieces of paper and just glance at it and like, oh my God!
And they're always walking.
This means this! And you're like, you could have even read the title. Like, how have you now absorbed all the information? But it's not realistic, I know, but I've
got
Suits too.
No, but even though there's a storyline that goes throughout the whole kind of thing, each episode is like...
A story.
You know, you're not kind of left thinking, all right, cool, I have to watch the next episode.
Right, so each one is like its own story and a single episode that's like a standalone story.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that sounds
similar
good.
Similar to Dexter as well, where there's one bad guy throughout the whole of the season,
but each
episode there's kind of bad guys
get their comeuppance by
each episode has got its own bad guy.
He finds someone and kills them in each episode, and then that story's done. It's quite rare that it'll go over two or three, although sometimes it has.
Yeah, but then there's one overarching one similar with Suits, like there's one overarching like law litigation, whatever, but within each episode they kind of start stories and finish them.
Right.
I don't mind that. It's just the short attention. I don't know if it's a short attention span. It's not really that. It's just I
you need closure. You need a sense that this is going to be completed within this viewing session. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Unlike TV series that just go on and on forever, stringing you along with the promise of some resolution to the story. I watched The Walking Dead, and that's a good example of that. And the only reason I watch it is because I like to see zombies getting their heads blown off. Mm. That's it. I've realised after 5 seasons, I just think I must be sick in the head, because the only reason I'm continuing to watch this is because I want to see a zombie getting stabbed in the head by a samurai sword, and I don't care about the people really. The Walking Dead is basically just a bad drama, a bad soap opera, you know, with like, you know, people sleeping with each other and stuff. People I don't care about, and every now and then it's punctuated by extreme violence, and that's the only thing that keeps me watching. Like, who's going to die next? That's all I seem to care about.
Walking Dead's sort of like about the makeup and the violence and the gore. You know, it's not really going anywhere. It's, you know, the first few seasons were interesting, and then it sort of petered out, like it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But something like House of Cards.
Yeah, I do like that.
That is... I mean, that's quality.
I've watched the first episode again. I liked it. No, I liked it. It's just that I haven't found a way of having it. Because, like, it's on Canal Plus in France. We have Netflix and Canal Plus in France, which is weird because it's a Netflix original series, but it's not on Netflix in France. It's on Canal Plus because they bought the rights to it, blah, blah, blah. So I haven't found a legal way of viewing it. So House of Cards, I like Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
I watched the first season like that. I don't feel like I need to, like, I'm not, you know, I had closure, so to speak. There's obviously, you know, other seasons there, but I'm happy with it, you know, with not being. I think the thing that screwed me up was Lost.
Oh,
I watched Lost.
You got hurt. You got hurt, Paul. And
I think that's what
you've
it
been
is.
Hurt once, yeah. And you don't want to get hurt again.
I think that's what it is. I watched Lost, and because I watched the first season, I loved season 2 and 3, and then it got a little bit better towards the end. But because I was so, I thought I've got to watch the rest of it because I've started watching. I've wasted, you know, 24 episodes, which is like an hour each. So like all that time,
it's like a day of your life.
You've got to watch.
I'm still angry with Lost.
So
I'm still there's still quite a lot of anger there when I hear Lost. We started watching another series. It was called not Les Revenants. Like it was about some cult in America, and one of the producers had worked on Lost, and I vetoed it. I was like, no one who's touched Lost. That's it. It's finished. They're dead to me. I fucking hated that.
But wasn't that the guy who worked on Lost, wasn't that
J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams.
And he's doing the new Star Wars.
He's doing the new Star Wars films.
Didn't he just do the first season, which was actually quite good, and then he left? I don't know.
I think he was the executive producer or whatever for the whole thing. I might be wrong, but
okay.
Yeah, I think... Well, again, Star Wars will be a film with a beginning and an end, so I'm fine with the...
Yeah.
But Star Wars is like a series.
It is
a little bit.
It's like a film meets series.
I've heard bad things about... I've not watched a lot of his films, but I've heard... Oh, is it Michael Bay? Which one is it, the one that does the lens flare too much?
No, that's J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams.
Does a lot of lens flare.
What's lens flare?
Lens flare, Paul?
It's when, like, if you're, let's say you're watching a film, and it's when, you know, like, the sun goes through the camera lens and does those little light, you know, little circle things. Apparently he uses that effect a lot, like, overuses it in some of his films.
That's his, like, signature.
Yeah, I think so, and I think people were worried that because he's doing the new Star Wars that there'd be a lot of that.
A lot of lens flare. I don't mind lens flare. What's wrong with lens flare?
I can't say I've noticed lens flare.
I have not noticed it so much that I've been like, oh, wow, that's his trademark, he uses it so much, but... Have I got a bug on my face?
Yeah, you're all right.
It looked like you're about to do a ninja chop.
I was just going to do a quick ninja chop to kill an insect on your face, but don't worry, Paul. I've been training in the mountains. I've got skills. So just in case my listeners don't know...
It's a spider!
It's tiny! I've saved you.
He's still somewhere.
He's not. He's fallen off.
Was that the spider from earlier on?
The English people on the terrace comedy show continues. That was not the spider from before, which means that there's more than one spider on this terrace.
Did he drop down from above me?
Yeah. No. I think they're teaming up. They're ganging up on us.
It's good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, lens flare, just in case my listeners don't know. Wait a minute. Okay, we've been going for 36 minutes. That's all right. Lens flare, well, you did explain it, but I wonder if my listeners managed to understand it. It's not that important, but in films or in... Let's say you take a photograph and the sun is shining into the lens of the camera, then sometimes you get that effect which looks like there are, like, these circles that appear or beams of light in the photograph. That's lens flare, and some people don't like it. Some people think it's cool and stylish, and apparently J.J. Abrams fills his movies with lots of lens flare. Steven Spielberg uses a bit of lens flare as well. It creates an atmosphere in the picture, but sometimes it's overused and it becomes distracting and annoying, I suppose. I don't mind it. I think it's all right. I think it looks...
I've never noticed it, to be honest.
I just don't like wiggly camera.
I'm sorry that I brought it up.
It's okay. No, you don't like wiggly camera. Is that another technical term?
Yeah. You know when they're like... walking around with the wiggling the camera around. I don't like that.
You mean like the Jason Bourne movies?
Like handheld.
Yeah.
lots of shaky camera handheld stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like the Taken movies, there's lots of shaky camera
in those films.
You don't like that?
Don't like that.
Just keep the camera still, please, so we can see what's going on.
The tripods exist. You know, they're making an effect, but, like, why? Why make us feel sick?
There was one film where it did affect me. It doesn't usually affect me, but it was... I can't remember the name of the film, but it was about, like, this massive monster in New York.
Oh, I know.
And it was all filmed.
It was filmed. The kids, because it was meant to be Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. Yeah.
Cloverfield.
That's J.J. Abrams.
Is it?
Oh.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, Cloverfield.
Back to JJ.
It all comes back to J.J.
I didn't mind it there. I quite liked
really?
It.
Really? Okay.
Because it was justified. It was being filmed by the kids on their phones or cameras or whatever, whereas a lot of the time it's just like a normal film where there's no camera. You're not meant to... you're not meant to have a camera. But, oh, Luke.
Luke has now rotated to the sunshine.
I've moved into the sunshine. I don't know if the listeners can hear the difference in atmosphere through the microphone, but sitting in the sun, it's nice and warm, and it's beautiful. So I'm now enjoying the sunshine. I'll stay here for probably about, 25 seconds before I can feel and smell my skin burning, my English skin. Cloverfield, you liked it then, did you?
I did.
My listeners, I wonder if they know what Cloverfield is. It's basically a sort of horror film directed by J.J. Abrams. It came out, I don't know, about 6 years ago. And it's the situation is that there's a bunch of, like, sort of high school or college-aged kids in New York, and they're videoing each other on their on handheld video cameras because there's some party happening. And in the middle of this party, something terrible happens in New York. Like, there's a big explosion, and everyone goes out, and, you know, there's all sorts of mysterious explosions going on in the city, and they're thinking, oh, my God, is it another terrorist attack or whatever? And it turns out it's a huge alien that's come down from space and is just basically smashing up the city, Godzilla style. And the whole film is a found footage film. The idea is that someone has found the videotape and then they've made it into a feature film. And we get to see what it was like from the point of view of the people who were directly involved in the alien smashing up New York situation.
I think the first film that I remember that was similar to that, like in similar in style, was The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Was that like the first one?
I think there have been other found footage films, but I think The Blair Witch Project is one of the most famous ones, yeah. You know, like a bunch of students go into the forest to investigate the presence of some kind of witch from local legend, the Blair Witch. And they go into the forest and they get lost, and then weird stuff happens to them. Have you seen it, Amber?
I have. I saw it at the cinema.
Really?
Ooh. When it came out. You were probably too young, actually, to go to the cinema and see that.
How old are you, Paul?
I'm 28.
Babe.
Only 28.
Babe in arms.
But, I remember, I don't know if I saw it in the...
The problem with Blair Witch was that they didn't have a script. And if you get young Americans, like, scriptless... It was very... There were some very dodgy moments. I really could have done with the script, to be honest. What was interesting about The Blair Witch was how they filmed it as well. So they sort of sent out the crew, the cast, and, you know, they were camping, and then the producers would come and sort of try and scare them in the night, and they sort of gave them the cameras, and they worked very much freely filming and doing different stuff, and then must have had a nightmare editing it all. But, I mean, there's this one bit I remember, and the kids, they go off, and they leave their... bags and stuff at their camp, and they go off, and then it comes back and they've been like messed with, and this guy's like, oh my god, look at this shit, there's shit all over my shit, and I was just like, really? It's so bad, give them a script for god's sakes. So.
I didn't realise it was that legit, like it was legitimately like almost like a real kind of thing. I didn't realise
that they'd actually scared the kids and that the reactions were authentic.
It was
real fear that you could see on the camera.
Yeah, I mean, I think they must have had a storyboard or like they knew where they were going, they were going to end up in the house or whatever, but there were definite moments where they sort of gave them the camera and let them freestyle.
For me, the Blair Witch Project was mostly annoying because I found that, first of all, the video quality was really bad. I mean, it's like really horrible, old-fashioned 1990s camcorder quality video. And secondly, the kids who had the cameras had no idea how to film. So the cameras are moving around all over the place, and it's like lots of footage in a forest.
Yeah.
So it's like lots of forest in bad quality, just shaking around in front, made me feel dizzy. Yeah. And the second thing is that the kids or the college students who were in the film were just really annoying. They're just annoying. So annoying. And so it was an hour of just being really annoyed by these kids who can't control cameras. And so when they started to encounter these ghosts or this witch or whatever in the forest,
the producer,
I was glad. I was like, yeah, I was on the side of the witch.
Definitely.
I was like, get these kids, they're really irritating.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Ah, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that. We were talking about TV shows, going through our experiences watching telly shows. If you could recommend one programme that you've seen to my viewers, any show, American, British, whatever, if you could, which one is the best one, in your opinion? From any period, now, the past, the future. I don't know if you know about TV shows that haven't happened
TV
yet.
TV shows, not series.
TV shows, TV
What's
series.
The difference?
I don't know, because a series you download and you watch them all one after the other, and a TV show you used to watch on the television when you were younger. I don't know.
Let's say ones that you imagine would still be available for people to purchase or download now.
I don't know. There's so many. There's so many good ones.
What's the big show that you're addicted to at the moment, Amber?
Well, I mean, I do like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I'm reading the books.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Okay.
I love Game of Thrones.
Why?
I think because I'm quite prone to the fantasy genre. I enjoy that. I like that it's based on sort of historical events. So there's something truthful in the sort of misery and horror. I think it's quite nice for once that it's quite a lot of women characters who've got more interesting roles than normal. Mm. So there's quite, whereas something like Lord of the Rings, you know, I did enjoy Lord of the Rings and like I read that, but there's no women. It's just a sort of man party.
Two women, three women.
I haven't watched it.
Three women.
Because this is a lot more sort of diverse, and it's just, you know, it's like gripping. There's always killing, and anyone can die, and you know, it's subtly fantasy. There's this element of fantasy with, you know, people coming back from the dead, but there's not too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and I just, yeah, it's, I like a long series that you can get into, unlike Paul.
Okay. All right. Thanks
for
that, Amber.
I'm trying to think. I can't.
Paul's struggling.
One that's fascinated me, and I don't know why, it's been such a. Is it's an old English comedy, Fawlty Towers.
Right.
Which is interesting because it was only ever 13 episodes long, but it made such a huge impact, which I don't know if that's really happened before. You know, like The Office in the UK when it started was I guess that was only really 13 episodes because it was six. It was two series or two seasons, but there were six episodes each.
Yeah.
I think it seems like we're pretty good at doing like short things that have a big impact, which is fascinating compared to something like, you know, like Friends, obviously, is huge, but it went on for ages and ages and ages.
Yeah.
If you're interested in English comedy, I think, or understanding kind of English humour and that kind of stuff, Fawlty Towers is always good.
It's a classic, isn't it?
I haven't watched it recently, so I can't. I won't be able to say if I'd still find it funny, but
it's pretty dated, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it looks a bit old-fashioned, but it's still classic stuff.
It is funny. I think there's lots of references to it, and it is really funny. But it's true. I think that British series, they do tend to be shorter. Like they're quite good at doing like a quite small little mini series. Like I saw The Wrong Man's recently. There's season one and two, but there are only sort of two episodes.
The Wrong Man's.
The Wrong Man's.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's very good.
Not heard of it either.
I see you two are not as dedicated as I am.
Not The Wrong Men.
No, it's The Wrong Man's. And it's almost like the title leaves that space of The Wrong Man's. The first one's The Wrong Man's. And in a way, it's The Wrong Man's telephone. They find this telephone and everything goes wrong from there on. And then in the second series. But, I mean, so one series was just two episodes. So it's really mini.
Okay. All right, The Wrong Man's.
Mm.
Okay, then. Game of Thrones, Fawlty Towers. I've got to do one now, haven't I?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, then. I'll tell you what. What I like watching very much is Louis C.K.'s show.
I was going to say that.
Really?
Louis. Yeah, I do. I really like it.
I thought season one was very good, and I've been disappointed with season three.
What about season two?
Limbo. It's the bridge.
Really?
Yeah, I watched season one, actually, when I was in the hospital. recovering from the baby, and it really cheered me up. I thought it was really, really good. Mm. And I'm enjoying it less and less.
Okay. I still enjoy it. I still enjoy it just as much as I did before. And I think it's just because I feel like it's original, and I feel like he has enough control over it for it to just be interesting. And I find even the episodes that don't really do anything, where nothing really happens, I just enjoy his world, and I like New York, and just the quirky, unexpected things that happen. And true, there are a few episodes in each season which are a bit hit or miss, but then there's some episodes which just really grabbed my attention. Like there was one in the last season which wasn't a very broadly funny season, it was more serious. He seemed to be getting quite a lot of serious issues out in that show, and there was a two-part episode where he catches his daughter who's quite young smoking a joint. And it goes into this whole flashback about his life when he was younger and how he got involved in smoking marijuana and how that affected his sort of upbringing and his childhood and his family situation and the way that his parents reacted to finding him in possession of some weed and the way his teachers reacted to it as well. And it seemed to me that basically his parents and teachers reacted to it in the wrong way. And they didn't really deal with it properly. And so when he discovers his daughter involved in it, he sort of learns from his past and deals with it by being open with her and not being too strict on her and being understanding. And it's just a really sort of sweet and quite touching episode, I found. So I just like that. I like the fact that he's got the freedom to explore his own personal story and also to have fun with the format. You know, you never quite know what's going to happen next. I quite enjoy that.
I agree with you, Amber. I like that the first season I thought was great. The second one, I don't remember a lot of the second one. And the third one I only watched up until, like, the second or third episode of The Elevator. Like, there's like, 10 episodes or... there's a lot of episodes named The Elevator Part, whatever.
Right.
And I got to maybe the third one and I stopped watching it. Not because I didn't like it, just because I kind of, you know...
I think I'm just a big enough fan of him to forgive the episodes that don't really work.
But it wasn't... I mean, some of them don't work, that's fair enough, because I see what you mean about the sort of free-form style that he has, and I like that too. But they just seem to be indulgent in a really boring middle-aged man way,
right,
which seemed so cliched, and I was disappointed because I expected more, because I think he's so good.
Yeah.
Like, the episode that really ruined it for me was when he sort of gets together with that kooky bookseller woman and they have a kooky time. And I just, that was it. I was like, oh, spare me.
Oh, you mean the one where they're up on the top of the roof?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, why don't you come and sit on the ledge with me, Louie? And he's like, I'm scared. And she's like, she goes through this whole hippie thing about how she doesn't need to be scared about falling off the roof because she doesn't want to. And but, you know, you should watch the end of that season because that character dies.
Oh, good.
So you might have found her annoying.
She
dies really quickly.
Oh, good, maybe he'll go up in my search. Maybe I'll give it a go. Now
it's
I know he kills her off.
The last episode, honestly, the last episode of that season is amazing. It's brilliant. And there's a whole thing as well about how he gets an opportunity to become the host of The Tonight Show.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. That was good.
And that's a great thing.
That was
a
really good
episode. Because you get David Lynch appears in it as this hilarious old-school kind of comedy coach.
Yeah.
And I just loved that. That's brilliant. And then after that as well, when, you know, I'm not going to explain what happens, but he also goes to China in one of those episodes.
Oh, he does, yeah. Isn't that the last one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there's this weird sequence of him trying to find the Yangtze River and him talking to local people in China. And it's like, what the hell? How come... Normally it's set in New York, but suddenly he's in, you know, China. And there's the one where he goes to Afghanistan.
Yeah, that was my... I think that was my favourite episode.
Yeah.
Out of the first season.
The Afghanistan
series. I keep mix up season and series. No, it's first season. It's a series and there's a season within a series.
I think it's season and series, the same thing.
No.
It's a TV series. Yeah.
There's and then a series. There's the season. Oh, season 1, 2, 3. And then there's, you know, what episode?
Okay, so for example, Game of Thrones is a series. And then you've got season one, season two, season three, season four.
But I confuse the... Like, I usually say, like, series one, series two, series three, instead of saying season one.
Well, I think that's because in the UK we do sometimes say series when we mean season. But I think these days, just to make it more simple, I think it's season one, season two. We're all saying season one and season two and so on. But it's, and something for my listeners that they should know is that series is always plural, isn't it? It's always a series. You know, what's the...
Because you can't have a singular series.
You can't, we never say a series. Because I've just seen...
Otherwise it's not a series. Well, it's just an individual
It's just
thing.
One, yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with an Italian... One of my best friends who's Italian, who's... She is with a ginger person, going back to the ginger. So she's the one who told me about the ginger thing.
So anyway, it's just her. So based on...
No. Like, she's one out of the three.
Based
anyway,
on what she's... Just because she's obsessed with gingers. Anyway, all Italians are obsessed
with
gingers.
We're not talking more about gingers. We're talking about cereals. Oh, so she's learning English, speaks very good English, and there was something that sparked a thought in my mind. She said TV cereal. That's her way of saying...
No, that's something you eat.
No, but I looked it up because I help her with her English, and I looked it up. I'm like, we say series, and she was like, oh, okay, because I always learnt it as cereal, like a TV serial, but spelt S like series.
S E R I A L.
Correct.
And no, so I'm not accepting that.
It's in it. It's in the dictionary as
cereal.
Like a cereal.
A TV serial.
Yeah, it's, I think my mum would say, oh. That's my
I think
cereal.
It's an old English.
No.
Yes.
No, yeah, I'm not. No. I'm as a English teaching professional of 14 years experience, I'm not accepting cereal. I think that it's a word that exists, but I don't think
you could say Coronation Street is a cereal.
No, it's not. It's a series. It's a soap opera.
It's a soap opera.
Right. You might be an English teacher, but Wikipedia...
Okay, wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Paul. You're going to tell me that the word exists, okay? And I know that's true. Just because it's in the dictionary, just because it's in Wikipedia, doesn't mean that everyone is using it, okay? Because there's a difference between words in the dictionary and general usage of English. I don't agree that cereal is in general usage. I think we say series.
I agree. I think we do say it.
We do now because of Americans.
Well, now we say season... series, okay. Anyway, Game of Thrones is a series, and it's not a series. That's my point.
Amber's now moved into the sun as well.
I'm in the sunshine.
It's a little bit chilly.
Two in the sunshine and Paul in the shade. Because you know why she's moved into the sunshine? Because she agrees with me about the word serial that no one really uses. A serial killer, fine.
Yeah.
But not a TV serial.
Series killer.
Series.
It's correct to use it, but series, yeah. A TV series, and within a TV series there are multiple seasons.
Yes. And then within those seasons there are...
Episodes,
okay.
And there are so many good ones. I just keep going through all the ones I like. There's so many. I spend a lot of my life watching them.
I like French.
French series?
French TV is very interesting.
Yeah?
Because I don't know how much TV you both watch of the French stuff.
I watch some.
But what I find interesting is how little diversity they have in terms of... In one evening, what they'll show, you know, I'm used to the UK, obviously, and in the US, it's obviously even more intense in terms of every hour there's a new program. You know, in the UK, it's every hour there's a new program. In France, every channel has the news at like 8 p.m., and then after the news until midnight, basically, is the same TV series. With about four or five episodes of that same TV series.
Right. It's just that all French television is the same. There's the news, and then there's a group of random people sitting around a table talking about something in a sort of intellectual, hilarious way. It's just very boring. They've just got the same format for everything.
But even normal shows, like, what I mean by normal shows are shows that exist in other countries, things like MasterChef or things like... What other reality TV series are there?
Well, you've got like...
Top Chef.
That one where they're all in a house.
Like Big Brother. Yeah.
But there's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Like, they're all stuck on a desert island or something.
Yeah, naked. But they all go naked. On for so long. Like, I've tried watching MasterChef over here. In the UK, it's 1 hour long.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Here it's once a week, but it's 3 hours long.
Monday nights.
It's just outrageous. It's like they don't have... it might be because the Addy was saying that the theory is that they don't have enough money to buy all the TV programs from all of the other countries to put on. So they just put on... Like, they buy the rights to Hawaii Five-O or The Mentalist and just put that on four episodes. And the episodes don't follow each other either. They'll put the first one, which is the newest episode of the newest season.
Yeah.
So you follow that. Then the second episode is like from three seasons back.
Yeah.
But they all follow each other in it. Like, episode two of the night, follow. It's just a crazy system.
I've seen that, though, where they put one thing on and then they put another episode from that season, but not... Or that series, excuse me. But not the subsequent one. Like, for example, they put Fast and Furious 5 on TV the other day. Mm-hmm. And then after Fast and Furious 5, what did they put on? Fast and Furious 6? No, Fast and Furious 4. So it's like, just to put all of what you've just seen in context, here's the previous episode.
One, yeah.
It's like, who's doing the scheduling for French TV? George Lucas?
Exactly. And I imagine if Game of Thrones was on regular French TV and they had five episodes back to back, you'd watch like the newest one from the newest season, and then you watch that and you're like, oh, I didn't even realise this person was dead, because in the next series, or the next season, or the next episode, they're still there, because it's going back to... It's very confusing.
I'm confused, and I'm sure my listeners are confused as well at this point.
Stop confusing them. All that to say, French TV is confusing.
Yeah, French TV is confusing. That's basically the end point there. Now, I feel like we've reached the end of some sort of phase here in this conversation. Amber has chosen to sit down in the shade. Mm-hmm. Again, Paul is comfortably sitting in the shade. I'm basking in the sunshine. Still here. I like to live
you
life...
You said 25 seconds.
I like to live on the edge, and that's why I decided to... I've stayed in the sunshine for probably about 15 minutes now. Highway to the danger zone. That's how I roll. Okay. I think it's probably a good time to bring this particular episode to a close. Can you guys stick around for a bit more?
I can.
I've got the whole day.
Yeah?
And just do this all day.
I think it would be fun if we stuck around and did some more things. So we've
didn't ask us any of the questions that you'd written down.
I wrote down loads of questions.
Apart from the first one, which was, what have you been up to? And then we just...
We detoured onto Game of Thrones.
But to be honest, the questions that I wrote down, the idea was that we would just end up talking about stuff in general. What did we talk about then in our conversation just now? We talked about, what have you been up to?
We didn't really answer that question. That much.
Not that much.
Because we jumped into Gingers very quickly.
Yeah. You got to watch... Don't jump into Gingers too quickly. You got to give them fair warning in advance. Any person, in fact, don't jump into a person
Ease in.
Warn them first. I'm going to jump into you in a second. Is that all right? Just check. You need to get their... you need to make sure that they're willing before you jump in, Paul. You should know that. You've been spending time in California. They're very strict on these things nowadays.
Personal space.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about Gingers.
We talked about Gingers.
For maybe too long.
And the problem is, we talked about Gingers, and then it made me realise... Well, it made me talk about Game of Thrones, which is I'm a bit obsessed about at the moment, and we detoured onto television.
Into TV.
We talked a lot about television programmes, didn't we? And then there was the whole escapade, the debacle with the chair.
Yeah.
And the spiders.
And the spider.
We all spent a certain amount of time in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably it, isn't it? Yeah. Do you have any last things to say to the people of the world before we just end this episode?
We apologise for the chair because
you
couldn't see what was going on.
Never explain, never apologise.
All right.
What was the thing?
Fuck
that
you.
Okay.
What would I say? I'd say Catelyn Stark. She's a lot less sympathetic in the books.
Who? What?
Don't worry. That's for those
people
who enjoy Game of Thrones.
Okay. You know, I've never seen Game of Thrones. In fact,
you're having a go at me for not. You're like, Paul, how have you not seen this? I've at least seen two episodes.
I've seen one episode, I think, and. The thing, you know, everyone has to have the Game of Thrones conversation, right? Like, oh, my God, Game of Thrones, isn't it brilliant?
And then
you have to justify why you haven't watched it.
No, it's the Game of Thrones at the moment, but it was Breaking Bad, like it was Lost. There's always one thing.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad either.
No, I know, and I find that remarkable, to be honest. But there's always going to be something, you know, the current zeitgeist, television zeitgeist. And at the moment, it's Game of Thrones.
What I have seen is, obviously, I've seen The Walking Dead, I've seen House of Cards.
That's very good.
I've watched Orphan Black.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Of course I have. I've seen everything.
Orphan Black's quite entertaining.
It is.
It's a bit silly. I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand what's going on anymore.
It's quite nonsense, but I think she does a good job.
I think the actress is absolutely brilliant.
I do.
That's the main thing. Do you know about Orphan Black?
I've got no idea what you're talking
basically,
about.
Basically, Orphan Black is a show about...
I'm laughing because we finished the podcast. Oh, I don't know if we... Are we on a new episode right now?
No. Luke Seymour's podcast, it's a bit like a horror movie sometimes. You think that you've killed the monster and then at the end it comes back.
Yeah, it's up again.
So Orphan Black, tell me more about that.
Okay, this is the last thing that we're going to do on this episode. Orphan Black is a TV show which is produced by BBC America, and it's basically the principle is this: the opening scene is that there's a girl, and she's on the station platform, and she's talking on her phone. She's got problems in her life. She's sort of like a low level gangster kind of thing, and she looks at this woman on the platform. The woman turns around. She looks exactly identical to the girl, and she's like, "Oh my God, how is this possible? I've got do I have a twin? Is she a doppelganger? What's going on?" And at that very moment that they make eye contact, a train rushes through the station, and the girl that she saw puts her bag down and jumps in front of the train, commits suicide.
Oh, that's my God.
Who's
like
the
that.
Girl? Why is she identical to the other girl? And then you realise she left her bag on the platform. And so the girl rushes over, picks up the bag, and runs away with it. And that's the opening of the whole series.
See, that
series.
Kind of thing you were saying about it's the opening 10 minutes, that would have me.
It grabbed me at the beginning.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's quite silly, the whole series, but it's good.
It turns out, basically, it's all about clones.
Clones.
Oh. And this shadowy, dark experiments into cloning people. And the cool thing is that the girl plays about 6 or 7 characters, and they're all really different characters, and it's a lot of fun because she gets to be... She looks different, and she acts different. She's like 7 different people, and they interact with each other. It's like they use special effects to make them interact. And it's a lot of fun. And the actress... who's called Tatiana something. She's excellent. She's really good.
Yeah, she is really good. She's really believable as all the different people. Like, the sort of mum one.
She's like a soccer mum from the States. Mom.
Yeah, she's, it's a completely different girl to the scientists.
There's like a hippie scientist. There's a uptight housewife. There's a cool kind of rock chick kind
English.
Of thing. English girl. There's a psychotic Russian assassin.
I think she's Ukrainian.
Is she Ukrainian? Sorry, all my Ukrainian and Russian fans. I got that wrong.
There's a sort of the boss lady.
Yeah.
With a sort of sharp hairdo.
There's like a corporate sort of evil bitch kind of, and she plays all of these people. It's really, really smart, really clever.
I might check it out. I like that kind of. You've sold it to me.
Yeah. Okay. Your girlfriend might like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. My wife is into it a lot. My wife.
Does that feel weird saying that now?
It's all right. It feels pretty cool. Yeah. It feels weird. Yeah. That I'm calling her my wife. I mean, she is technically my wife. So. Yeah. It's cool. It's good. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. All right, on that sort of that ending there, I think it's probably time to bring the episode to a close. I would say it's probably a good thing to just say hello to my listeners, both of you. It's a good thing to do. They like that. Just do you have a particular country that you'd like to give a shout out to? You should probably give a shout out to Italy.
Yeah, I guess I have to give a shout-out to Italy. Ciao, buongiorno. Because I talked about Italians. I made a general assumption that all Italians like ginger people.
We're going to find out if that's true.
I'm looking forward to checking out your page in the comments and finding out if that was true or not, whether my friend Valentina is just talking rubbish. So.
Okay, right. Amber, do you have a country to shout-out to?
Hello to Poland.
Oh, yeah. Good
Poland.
Job. Yeah. Any particular reason?
Well, I went there for a weekend. The first weekend where the baby was being looked after by the grandparents, and me and Nico, we went to Poland. We went to Krakow, and we had a great time.
Okay. Fantastic. So a big shout out to Poland there. I've got lots of listeners in Poland. It's a big country for Luke's English podcast.
They all spoke really good English.
Did
everyone.
They?
Really,
you know
really
why?
Good. Because they listened to Luke's English podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which country am I going to give a shout out to? I'd like to give a shout out to North Korea. Anyone listening in North Korea, hang in there. Okay, that's all. If you're secretly managing to get through all of the internet, you know, firewalls that Kim Jong-un has put in place, and you're managing to get into the internet, and you're listening to Luke's English podcast, just keep, you know, hang in there, all right? That's a... Yeah. Okay, good. Just don't give up. It's going to be all right. all right, thanks very much for listening to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back with you at some point soon. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.